Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet.
At our facility, whatever's left over that can't go to people, we simply move it to the next building. And that goes for livestock, which then goes right across the street to the dairy farm, or down the street to another dairy farm, or where we have pig farmers that will come to pick up here. It just creates this efficiency.
Transitioning to a circular economy could generate nearly $25 trillion worth of additional economic output globally by 2050. Today's guest is Stuart Lilly. He's the CEO and founder of ReFeed Farms, a facility just outside of Vancouver, British Columbia, that focuses on food waste recovery through a circular nutrition model. Stuart was raised in Wales around international cuisine, and his love of food carried on as he worked in the hospitality industry growing up and later as a food waste management consultant. I get to speak with Stuart on how he disrupted the linear food waste management industry with a sustainable and traceable business model, his fundraising challenges and how he addressed them, and how not having all of your eggs in one basket when it comes to manufacturing products is key for initial growth. With a desire to scale localized manufacturing in Ontario and the United States, ReFeed Farms is demonstrating that repairing the food system by using 100% of the nutrition found in unused food and returning it to feed people, livestock, and the soil is attainable. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our Season 2 sponsor, Digital Scope. Did you know your website has a carbon footprint? Well, digital technology has a larger carbon footprint than the entire aviation industry, and it's only getting bigger. Digital power consumption is increasing by 9% every year. At this rate, our digital carbon footprint could be responsible for as much as 14% of global emissions by 2040. If you're a digital-first company, or really any company with a website, and want to understand the impact your website is having on the environment, Digital Scope can translate visitor data into carbon measurement, all with a simple one line of code added to your website. Check out digitalscope.com/someone like you. The first 100 people to sign up get free access for an entire year. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Marco, thank you for having me.
So, ReFeed Farms, we're going to dive into how you've had this idea and built something really kind of impactful, especially when it comes to food waste, but not just food waste in terms of, you know, reselling or repackaging some food, but the entire kind of system and this kind of circular model that you've really built, which is quite unique. But before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty details of the business side, how did you get into thinking about ReFeed and food waste? And were you thinking, you know, sustainability, food waste, climate change? Like, where did that begin in your kind of life or career?
Well, that's a great question. So I just recently had my mom out here from Wales, and she was a big influence on me growing up. Single mother, not a lot of money, but really had this introduction to international cuisine. She was just a gourmet cook that would always have food on the table for us to learn about cultures, for us to learn about, just different people around the world. And we would always have different people at the house as well, that from all walks of life. And so I was raised with this passion for food and how it can bring people together. And that was pretty inspiring for me. I grew up working in the hospitality industry. So, you know, that love of food kind of carried forward. But it also stems from my love of nature and just the biodiversity that's out there and wanting my kids to experience the love of nature that I had growing up and was introduced to as well. So, you know, along the journey, I started a waste consulting brokerage company. Saw an opportunity to be a part of the evolution of the waste industry. Didn't understand the linear focus of waste, rather than actually look at those opportunities to find resource, and just migrated towards the food side along the journey as well, and found my niche after working with a company called Enterra Feed. They were a black soldier fly technology company. My role was to go into the food industry and deep dive who had the food waste, pre-consumer, which means that there's a full traceability to it, which also means that it can actually go back into the food chain. How are we going to get that food, quote unquote food waste, to feed black soldier flies at the time, versus going into the landfill, and what the composition of it was, how much was being produced by each producer, and then the development of collection programs and diversion programs. So, all of that really opened my eyes to how big of a problem we were truly dealing with, and what solutions were actually available out there to solve these problems, which were very minimal. The waste industry controls the stream. It's a get rid of it at the cheapest price possible. It has nothing to do with impact and aligning with society. And that bothered me every day. And so even with the black soldier flies now receiving this feedstock, I wanted to do more. It bothered me that so much of this that I was now bringing in away from landfill, which was great, but now it was going to be feeding an insect. So much of it should have been recovered for people. And that infrastructure didn't exist because of how the linear model works. It's now going to feed an insect to create sustainable protein. We've skipped the whole let's feed people first part of it. And so, it was something that always stuck with me as, this evolved into me starting ReFeed, that I wanted to bring together a complete circular system at one facility where you're aligning what you're doing with society first, and then, also creating the products that you need to monetize in order to be a sustainable business. And I've had that opportunity to do it here at our Langley facility, ironically, where Enterra used to be, and bring the entire circular system together at our pilot facility.
Well, food waste is obviously such a massive, massive issue. And, when it comes to waste and its emissions from that waste and everything, that the whole process of feeding people, we waste obviously just an incredible amount. And you being in the waste industry, being able to see, and we're obviously very lucky being in Canada and North America, and obviously lots of places where we have sophisticated waste systems, and we some places have compost, however that is, but it is such a big problem. And what were people, before, what you were doing at ReFeed, you said most of the stuff was from a waste side was getting offset into this black soldier opportunity to feed insects. But really what just typically happens in the process, and where is the kind of the problem that you were trying to disrupt exactly?
Well, it really is having the systems in place and the transparency in place and communicating the solutions with the producers and having them buy in to a better way. My other company that I started, we managed waste programs on behalf of producers. So it gave me a perspective from the actual producer of what the problems were with the waste industry and how it relates to their clients. And so by managing waste programs, we're now working on behalf of the producer to make sure that it's their waste streams are used to their highest value. And so that was kind of the aha moment for me, was, okay, well, we could do this for the entire food industry and just basically be the facilitator of this system on their behalf. There are costs, we incur costs. So, this is not a charity. This is a for-profit business, but we could do it in a way where we know that these byproducts are being used. They're being used to a higher value. There's traceability to it. It supports you know, their sustainability goals. It supports the region's goals of reducing carbon emissions. And we're able to just bring together all the stakeholders to really create a better system. So, yeah.
So you have this background and you're seeing this waste happen in front of you, which kind of gives you a bit of a lens into what's happening. And obviously, you know, people thinking like waste and food waste and the circular nature and how much is probably happening per day. That's a hard thing to wrap your mind around starting. Like, how do you start it? How do you get this thing funded? What are those initial steps? And so when you had this idea, where did you go from there to get started? Like, how did ReFeed become a business, and what were those first initial steps?
Well, it actually got started out of necessity. One of our clients, which is a major grocery chain here in Metro Vancouver, TNT Supermarkets. My other company was managing their waste program, and they had the vendor that we had in place go out of business. And it forced me to make a decision as to starting ReFeed and, you know, really bringing to fruition this concept that I've been playing around with for years of, you know, separating out produce and bakery from the waste stream from these food industry partners from meats and seafood, so that 100% of that product can go right back into the food chain through either feeding people or livestock or to create soil microbiology. And so it literally came to fruition within 24 hours. And the facility that Enterra, the one that we're currently at now, I knew that they were actually leaving in 3 months. So it meant that I could actually develop this collection program of this produce with our industry partners, bring it to a facility that would use the material for 3 months while I figured out the rest of the company. And, you know, that's probably not the, you know, typical way of starting a business, but I was confident in so many pieces of it already because, you know, I lived it, that we could develop the collection programs, that we could develop it as, you know, recovery for people, recovery for livestock feed. The development of the final pieces, which is the bioconversion processes using worms or bespoke composting processes or manure technologies that we're developing. You know, those were all pieces that I was confident enough that I could figure out and find the right people to work with me on. The challenge, you know, once you get going is how are you going to fund this? And so we came up with a strategy to, you know, go to market and raise capital, and then COVID hit. So we started we took over the facility March 1st, 2020. And right? And so within, you know, days, I'm driving a rented truck over the Portman Bridge with no traffic on it. And it was the most surreal thing to experience. You know, starting a company, the world shuts down, and you can't stop. So raising capital became challenging. I basically bootstrapped the company for the first 2 years. And you know, luckily I had my other company to be able to fund it.
And since then, the model and the growth has been able to fund itself, or has it been also a combination between, you know, the business and getting those kind of venture companies to come on board?
Yeah, it's this push and pull. I've always been a firm believer in, you know, focused on where you're going and continuing to move forward, not staying stagnant. So the commitments we make are all about where our end goals are. Raising capital has been an ongoing thing. And so we're now at this inflection point where we now have our manufactured products, our own branded products, and that part of the business is really the hockey stick aspect of where we're going. So the conversations we're having now are different than where they were a year ago or 2 years ago, when it was really still bringing together the different pieces. We knew we had the produce recovery part of it. We had that right away. So that's just grown organically, you know, where the revenue generation on that has supported the business. And that's where the circular system has really been a benefit to us. You know, we didn't have all our eggs into one basket where you're dependent on revenues that may not be able to come for quite a while. We knew we could generate revenue doing our feedstock management program right away. So that contributed to not only our growth, but also reducing our burn rate.
So to go back into the business side and understand a little bit about how that business works, when you're picking up waste from, you know, and I'm sure there's other customers, but a grocery store, for instance, they're paying you to pick up any of their, what they would deem as waste that they couldn't sell, or maybe, you know, it didn't even hit their shelves, whatever they have, you're handling all of their waste on the food side. And then is that where the business makes its money, or then it's also afterwards as well? You know, is it giving away the food to food banks? Does it, like, how does that process work?
Sure. Yeah. So this being a pilot facility, you know, demonstrating each piece and how it all works together in a circular system, we wanted to generate revenues at every piece in order to present a sustainable business model if this was to be duplicated, grown in other areas. The manufacturing distribution, that is the core business. And that is where the hockey stick really comes from. And that's really just the production of regenerative soil amendments, biofertilizers, biostimulants, and getting those to market. It's a very, that business, if you just look at it in isolation, it's a very easy business to understand. You produce something and you sell it. The pilot facility, bringing together these different pieces of the food system and generating revenue, was how this facility, this pilot facility, would be sustainable through the growth stage, through the development stage of the manufacturing distribution. So when we do the recovery process and provide a service to the food industry, we charge for that service. You know, that's more of a conventional, you know, waste management approach, if you will, but it's not waste to us. We've developed it so that 100% of what we pick up is food. It's either food for people, food for livestock, or food for microbiology. So we know that we can find 100% utility when we get it back to our facility. When we recover the industrial amounts of produce, you know, that typically comes in a truckload, on pallets. When we get that product from food graders, importers, distribution companies, very little comes from the grocery. The grocery partners that we do work with, or food processors that we work with, that's typically only going to go into the livestock stream. But the food that we recover for people comes from distributors, importers, graders. You know, this is the larger industrial amounts that weren't being addressed before, that the infrastructure was missing. And so that's what we initially put in place here to start with. When we recover that food, we then redistribute it back to, you know, food banks, local charities, where they pay us a processing fee for doing that work. And what that means is we've actually provided them the nutritious food that they're looking for at a price that is beneficial to them, so they can redistribute it to their clients. It's reducing their labor costs, their operational costs, because they no longer have to send trucks around trying to find this food, or trucks around picking up this mixed bag of whatever, and then having to use labor and resources to go through it all to recover what little bit that they can. It creates a more efficient system. And at our facility, whatever's left over that can't go to people, we simply move it to the next building. And that goes for livestock, which then goes right across the street to the dairy farm, or down the street to another dairy farm, or where we have pig farmers that will come to pick up here. It just creates this efficiency. We cherry pick what we need for our worm bioconversion system. So we've built a vertical worm farm where we've created really bespoke processes to create the microbiology that we want from those worms at the end. So we'll take what we want, farmers get what they want, and charities and food banks get what they need.
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. Really, it ends up being a very the one piece of food or that box of bananas. In a traditional sense, it would have gone potentially to a food bank. A food bank, like, what do I do with half of these? They're actually, half of them are moldy. Yeah. You're able to deal with it, the entire process, and also still be able to give it to the people that need, because there is still great food that's there, and deal with it. Yeah. When it comes down to the product side of things, which you've just started to build, that becomes a very, it sounds like a lot of the things that you're doing right now is very, these are business partnerships, these are phone calls, meetings, getting these in place. But when it comes to the individual product side, that seems like a fully different business, where you have marketing now and a brand that you need to build. Sure. and sales channels and distribution. And so how have you gone down that path, and what initial success have you seen from starting to do that?
Yeah. And that part of it was new to me, that part of the industry. So I actually reached out to someone that's an expert in that, and brought them on board. Dino Achille, who's our president, has a background working with the largest plant input company in Canada that recently sold to a company called Hydrofarm out of the States. And so he has all that experience with building the company in that space, the logistics, the distribution, the contacts, the marketing, the manufacturing. So like I said earlier, you know, I have my expertise, but I'm going to bring in the expertise that is going to support the growth of this entire system. And Dino was a key hire in that respect. So I'm excited that we have that.
And who are the end consumers or businesses of those type of products, and what type of products are they?
Yeah. So we're not focused on one industry specifically. We've got products that will go into the retail, the home and garden type spaces, with, you know, the different products that you'll find at your garden centers. We've got products that meet more the farming aspect of it. And working with local farmers to either regenerate their soil or transition their farms to regenerative, or just want to use more nature-based biological applications. And then there's the municipal applications, where, you know, municipalities are being expected to transition to, you know, more nature-based solutions and eliminate their impact on the environment. And that includes, you know, the applications that they would be using in parks and within communities. You know, we can't be continuing to use all of these poisons and expect to get the results that we need in our environment. So, you know, we've got these products that they really fit into multiple different segments, but they're all aligned, you know, within that same purchasing of products that they need. So, you know, we're excited there. And just on the other side, the work that we're doing on the circular systems, and this really leads more back to the marketing. Well, all this work that we're doing is creating contacts, not only in the food industry, in the community. They become champions and ambassadors for what we're doing. And that work, that authentic work that we do in the community, that impact, that true impact work, is marketing for us. But it's done in a way that we actually do real impactful work, you know, for those that are in our community. And in turn, they will amplify the work that we do as well when it comes to our products. So, you know, this is all connected. And when you look at it through a circular lens, you really see how together we can truly, really make difference. And, you know, we're just, again, trying to be that facilitator of that change. And our products now become the opportunity for, you know, those that are either in the community or in farming, municipalities, to be able to purchase products that they know have these co-benefits of all the other work that we're doing. And they can be a part of being a contributor just by simply supporting us through their buying power.
And when, you know, you brought up the idea of impact, how do you as ReadFeed and obviously what you're doing are able to measure that impact? Because you're clearly, you know, diverting a lot. And then also on the other side, you know, you're helping farms regenerate their soils and, you know, bring food into the food banks. How do you measure all of that impact?
Yeah, so everything that we have that goes through our facility is tracked. So whether it's weight, whether it's, you know, logistically, you know, tracked in our system, you know, we have full transparency and traceability on everything. What we're developing is an LCA model, so life cycle assessment model of the entire system in order to quantify that impact with the intention of coming to market with community impact credits, you know, that go beyond carbon. You know, we know we have a carbon impact that can be measured, that can be quantified, can be monetized, but it's the entire system that is truly compelling that we're working on actually capturing that value and that impact so that we can make those credits available for corporations or community members to support the system that way and be a champion for, you know, tangible, real impact.
So you've built, you know, you built this business, you're having a real impact in the city of Vancouver, you're picking up a ton of food and breaking that out into, you know, a system that is feeding people, feeding livestock, and then turning it into a product that can now be sold that's good for the soil and farms. What you mentioned it being potentially a place to showcase or a pilot yeah. place. You know, if you think about the next kind of 3 to 5 years or even a longer term vision, where do you want or where do you see ReadFeed going?
This is about localized manufacturing. So to have other facilities in communities that can support you know, this type of an operation makes sense to expand into. You know, for ReadFeed, we know that we want to see one more in Ontario. We want to see 2 to 3 in the United States, East Coast, West Coast, and then have a network of companies that we work with where we, you know, provide them, whether it's some of our licensed technologies that we're developing or just our brand and our reach and our you know, our market capabilities that we're developing to be able to actually be the go-to hub for regenerative inputs throughout North America. We want to be that leader. We want to be that company that is changing the game and where we can be the go-to and the marketplace for these products that will have a regional network throughout North America and be able to have that traceability and transparency that's needed.
Yeah, we've had Felix Bach, who's also from mm-hmm. Vancouver, with Chop Value, and they're doing that with chopsticks, and their micro franchising business was really, really interesting because their idea was, well, you know, we don't want to collect chopsticks from all over the world and ship them back to Vancouver and then process them. We want that to be a lot more localized. So that sounds, you know, very familiar. And I think, you know, thinking about myself, I'm near you. I'm in Victoria on Vancouver Island. You know, the idea that it would make sense to have all of it done on Vancouver Island rather than obviously ship things back and forth for environmental reasons, for community reasons, for impact reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And because we're partnered up with other companies like Cascadia Seaweed, like Agritech, which is a humic acid Leonardite company, they have their products that they produce and that can fall under our umbrella, you know, that we can bring to market. But when it comes to the localized manufacturing, what you're able to do is you're able to support now food security. And this growing movement to produce more food locally, that is really just starting to get traction, because as we see what's going on around the world through supply chain disruptions, climate change, we know that the food production system that's currently in place is not going to be sustainable. So it means that we need to produce more food locally. And that means that we need to be able to also, in order to reduce carbon emissions and also to be able to utilize circular supply chains, we need to be able to manufacture with the resources that we have within the community. And that really is what we're trying to do with ReFeed, is utilize feedstock that is locally available, turn it into products that replace the synthetics to be able to grow food more nutritiously, positive impact on the environment, but do it in a way that it has a circular system that is bringing these all together, that everybody can also be a champion for. So it brings together, instead of pushing away, it's now bringing people together in the food system to understand, you know, how this all works and how they can be a part of it.
And when it comes to your factory right now and what the work that you're doing, what type of capacity have you already seen? Like, do you have room to scale there in the work that you've done now, or is it like where is the focus of scale?
Yeah, we're building up our production here. We also have a couple other opportunities that we're looking at right now. One is for an acquisition. Another is for a standalone manufacturing facility. And so it's really, you know, it's evolving quickly. And, you know, one of, I think, my strengths is that adaptation and iterating as we grow, understanding, you know, the importance of continued growth, but also, you know, the importance of growing the company, not just through this ideological approach that I have, but as a sustainable company that is focused on our investors as well. And so, you know, really it's about production right now. And how do we get that production up to meet the demand? And the demand is growing. You know, there's been a weird couple of years here with the economy, with COVID, that we're seeing the signs of this now focus on more regenerative organic products really starting to get traction again. And there was momentum previously, but we're now starting to see that grow again. And this is the direction that agriculture communities are going. So we're excited about where this is going and how we can actually make sure that we have the infrastructure to be able to actually meet the demand.
A bit of the podcast branding plays a little bit off of this children's book, The Lorax, which is a pretty popular book around this kind of tale of, you know, an individual that gets rid of all of this forest and it's just basically overusing our resources and just really kind of treating the earth like it's ours to take from. But at the end, there's this kind of hope that, you know, individuals are doing the hard work and that individuals can make a change. And obviously what you're doing at ReFeed is an example of that. But there are a lot of people right now thinking, entrepreneurs, investors, employees thinking like, how do I get into climate? How do I spend my time into sustainability? Because I think when we think about the future, I think, you know, everything is going to have to be sustainable. What would you say to those people that are kind of educating themselves right now or are thinking about it? Like, what kind of advice would you give them?
We need you. Yeah. My kids need you. We need as many tools in our toolbox right now to really reverse what's happening on this planet. And the movement requires dreamers. It requires doers that are just going to go and get the work done that needs to be done. We don't need to continue talking about what needs to be done. We actually need to just start doing the things that need to be done. And so it's a journey though. This isn't a get rich quick scheme. And I know that there are quite a few out there that are trying to hijack this movement that we need. And they just have the earmarks of Ponzi schemes. And that's not what we need right now. We need real solutions that are getting real traction and that will only continue to be in demand as we grow here. And that's what I hope investors start seeing, is that if we continue chasing the unicorns, we're not going to achieve our goals. There's a ton of companies out there, ours included, that are just going to be great companies, and that they're going to continue to develop revenue streams, and they're going to continue to evolve. And while they do that, they're going to create great impact. That's what we need. We need investment in those foundational companies that are going to be here 20 years from now, because they created that foundation to build off of. It's not sexy, but it's needed. And those are the types of companies that will get the traction and create the momentum and inspire others to do the same.
Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. Where can listeners find out more about ReFeed Farms?
Well, they can go onto our website, refeedcanada.com. You can check us out on Instagram, on LinkedIn, follow us. Like us, you can buy our products. So you can also go on our website, find out where you can get their products. And we'll be updating that on a regular basis here as new retailers come on board, as well as some online availability.
Stuart, thanks for all the work that you do. Like you said, it's an unsexy job, but you're doing it and you're having an incredible impact. And we do need companies and people like you that are doing the hard work. It's getting your hands dirty. You can't really say anything else but that. So thanks again for joining us.
Marco, thank you very much for having me on.
This podcast is co-produced with The Brand is Female. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. And if you did, please share this. We're a new podcast, and I would love it if you could share it with a family member, friend, colleague, work colleague, share it on Slack, whoever you do, just share and spread the message of these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.